live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the General Secretary of the INMO says in the region of 1,100 nurses and midwives have been attacked in Seelter Group hospitals over the past 10 years. An application for capital funding for the redevelopment of the Cleary Centre in Donegal Town is due to be formally appraised by the HSE's Estates Department shortly. There's widespread concern in the Newton Stewart area following reports antisocial behaviour has reached an alarming level, and over 300 high-tech financial jobs are to be created in Derry. Those stories you follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the General Secretary of the INMO says in the region of 1,100 nurses and midwives have been attacked in Seelter Group hospitals over the past 10 years. Specific local figures have not been published for the hospitals in Letterkenny, Sligo, Galway, Mayo and Roscommon, but Phil Mihay says a total of 1,602 staff members have been attacked, and the majority of those will have been nurses.
We know from the national figure, and it has been confirmed, that of all of the assaults countrywide over the 10 years, 9,901, 70% of them, unfortunately, were against nurses and midwives. So we can take it that translates to 70% of the figure for the sales group as well. We know that there are three main causes from all of the research around the world that has been done into this. The first one being that people who present with under the influence of alcohol and drugs. The second is that people who have underlying conditions that give them an altered state of mind, whether that's a temporary state of mind or a permanent state of mind. And the third one is that when staffing levels reduce and when longer waiting times then result, people get very frustrated, and unfortunately they tend to take that out on what they view as the HSE, whether it's a doctor or a nurse or whoever they meet when they attend for treatment.
An application for capital funding for the redevelopment of the Cleary Centre in Donegal Town is due to be formally appraised by the HSE's Estates Department shortly. It's understood that the group, which has overall responsibility for providing property services to the HSE, will examine the proposal for the Donegal Town project at its next meeting this July. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says it's a step in the right direction and is hopeful of positive news next month.
I think this is welcome news. And, you know, there has been huge disappointment in the South Donegal region, and particularly with the Parents and Friends Committee, who have been at the leadership in relation to making sure that services are provided for people with disabilities in the South Donegal region. But when the announcement came through, or the word came through earlier on this year, that this Cleary project wouldn't be part of the 2018 Capital Works Programme, we were all deeply disappointed. Today we have better news, and we now know that the application is going to be assessed by the capital section of the HSE, and that will be assessed in next month's meeting. So we are anticipating good news. I was at a meeting with the Minister along with the Parents and Friends of the Cleary Centre earlier on this year, and made a very strong case for the need for the centre, which I think was heard by the Minister in fairness to him. So hopefully we will get the type of green light that allows to go to the next stage at next month's meeting.
Over 300 high-tech financial jobs are to be created in Derry. The significant expansion by FinTree will see it establish a new operation in Derry with 305 new jobs and creating a further 300 new roles in Belfast. £38 million has been invested in the expansion. FinTree CEO Darren McCarthy says he's delighted with the company's growth.
We are incredibly excited. We're also incredibly excited that we're going to be able to establish an operation in the northwest region of Northern Ireland. So not only just build on the success we've had in Belfast to date, but also establish a new operation. So I think it is incredibly exciting, and we couldn't be more proud.
Drew Harris has been appointed as the new Garda Commissioner. He has more than 30 years policing experience in the RUC and the PSNI, and will become the first outsider to lead in Garda Síochána. Mr. Harris has been involved in the senior leadership of the PSNI for 12 years and has been Deputy Chief Constable since 2014. He'll take up the job in September, almost a year on from when former Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan retired. Northern Ireland's Policing Board Chair, Anne Connolly, says he was always a strong candidate.
The only disappointment for us is that we now lose him, because he has been a good deputy to the Chief and a good steadying hand on the ship. As well, of course, we can't make a permanent appointment at the moment because we don't have a board, which isn't very helpful.
There's widespread concern in the Newton Stewart area following reports antisocial behaviour has reached an alarming level. Residents are said to be living in fear, with burglaries, robberies and abusive behaviour blamed on an increase in temporary crisis housing in the area. The housing executive in the north has agreed to stop sending crisis housing tenants for a number of months, while local police have also agreed to carry out more patrols. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossin is hopeful that these measures will counteract the problems.
Listening to the level of detail on each of the individual cases that I've heard of from constituents over the last number of months, it is very, very concerning. And people are growing more and more concerned. So we had to take immediate action to see that in some way would alleviate. So it's going to be an increased police presence in the area. There's also going to be a more community involvement in trying to tackle this. And of course, the housing executive have ceased sending temporary crisis allocations to the area for a number of months to see if that alleviates some of the issues that are going on. But I'm certain with people united on this issue, we can resolve it. But Newton Stewart has never had any difficulties. I've never noticed it in the time that I've been in this position. And all of a sudden, very recently, since the increased allocation of crisis housing, we're seeing a huge spiral of very serious incidents happening in a very rural, small rural town. And it's something that concerned me and other elected representatives who were keen to get it resolved.
So is it a belief that those who are carrying out the burglaries and the antisocial activity are not actually from Newton Stewart themselves?
Well, in all things, as a public representative, I can only go with what the public are telling me from the area. And when people from all backgrounds, all walks of life are telling me the same things, then we have to draw the conclusion that there's something in it. And I'm of the view that, yes, that the people that are carrying out such activities and causing all sorts of antisocial behaviour and crime in the area of late aren't from the Newton Stewart area at all.
It's been confirmed that Ranafast is to be included in Donegal County Council's winter gritting programme for the 2019-2020 season. The council has announced that Galdonna Road, Ran Road, Ranafast and Remelton Town is to be included in the gritting programme and a new gritting lorry to be purchased. There have been repeated calls for the Ranafast Road to be included in the programme following numerous reports of the road being impassable during the winter months. The programme will formally come into effect following the next full plenary meeting of Donegal County Council. Councillor Micheál Colmagill Osbach has welcomed the local authority's commitment but says the programme needs to be extended.
I've been consistently at this since being elected as a councillor. Now, the only downfall to this is there are other roads that I had hoped that would be added as well, which would be roads out to Mahari, over Burnalak, over to Maharoti, which was initially on the programme, but other councillors decided in their wisdom to lift that road off to put it onto another road in the area. It's unfortunate that the other roads haven't been, but we will continue to fight and push for it, and I would call on the community to organise themselves around this. Gritting is important around a certain times of year so that communities can continue to function.
Meanwhile, the Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, has been speaking out following yesterday's workshop where the winter gritting programme was discussed, and says councillors should be united in representing communities and ensure what is needed is delivered.
Fully understand the demands that are there within the county. He mentions other roads that he has been looking to get added to the gritting list. Again, he was not there to voice his opinion. But the other five councillors, on behalf of the people of the Glenties Municipal District, did take the opportunity yesterday to vociferously and strongly put the points across on the roads that we are looking to get added. And I would appeal to Councillor Micheál Osbach that he should start and to work as a united team on behalf of the people that elected him with the other five councillors who are working on a united front, so that the people of the Glenties Municipal District have the full team working as a cohesive unit to bring about the best and deserved results for the people of the Glenties Municipal District.
It's also been announced that Donegal County Council is to include two Letterkenny schools in the winter gridding programme for 2018-2019. Both St Bernadette's and Little Angel schools are to be added to the programme's route. Local councillor Adrian Glacken says this is an issue he has been raising for some time and welcomes confirmation that the proposal is to be implemented this coming winter season. We're being urged to be vigilant after the Department of Agriculture has issued its highest red warning for forest fires. It says the dry conditions mean fire can spread rapidly, particularly in forestry, gorse and heather. Farmers are asked not to use machinery near hay meadows and to refrain from using fires. Forestry advisor for Chagas, Noel Kennedy, says the warning doesn't happen that often.
It's a highly unusual position. We regularly get to orange, but to get to red just reflects the very, very dry conditions. Forestry, particularly young forestry adjoining bogland, is at high risk from fire damage. So I suppose the tips really are, first of all, for neighbouring farmers to bear in mind that it is illegal to burn uncultivated ground between now and the 31st of August.
Meanwhile, people swimming in the sea during the heatwave are being warned that lion's mane jellyfish are bigger than usual this year. This type of jellyfish is the most venomous in Irish waters, with sightings in the Celtic and Atlantic seas recently. There were sightings of the harmful jellyfish at a number of Donegal beaches last year. According to the Irish Times, several swimmers in the West have received hospital treatment for lion's mane stings, with symptoms including severe headache, pain, vomiting and even cardiac arrest. Roger Sweeney is Deputy CEO at Irish Water Safety.
Don't rob the affected area, as that can easily result in further release of the venom. So after that then, rinse the affected area copiously with seawater, and don't use this fresh water or vinegar or alcohol or even urine. These are not things that you should use. You should just use seawater. And of course then afterwards, put a dry cold pack, i.e. a cold pack wrapped in a t-shirt perhaps or a towel, to the area. And you can actually find out about the different types of jellyfish that are present around our coast on Irish Water Safety's website. So if you enter jellyfish in the search field at iws.ie, you can find out more about the lion's mane jellyfish and others and the dangers that are posed by, in particular, these lion's mane jellyfish. They're large, they're more mature, and they're in our waters, so people need to know how to stay safe.
I'm sure it's also equally important to report any sightings to both yourselves and the local beach guards, so you yourselves will have a record and then highlight it to other people as well.
Yes, absolutely. Well, if anybody sees these lion's mane jellyfish in the water, they should report them to the local authority, where the Water Safety Development Officer can inform the inform the lifeguards. Or indeed, if you're at a lifeguarded waterway, the lifeguards will already be on patrol, constantly looking for these jellyfish. But if you see them, let the lifeguards know.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the latest selection of Converse footwear.
It's now 14 minutes past five, and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and Donegal have been dealt a major blow ahead of the All-Ireland Super 8 with the news that star forward Patrick McBurdy will play no further part this campaign. It was confirmed today by Donegal GAA that the 24-year-old suffered a season-ending ACL tear. It's also a big hit for his club, Kilcare, as they look to defend their Donegal Club Championship crown later this year. McBurdy pulled up on Sunday's Ulster final, and following scans yesterday, the dreaded cruciate injury was diagnosed. Donegal manager Declan Boner says it's a huge blow.
Very disappointing, and huge blow for Patrick, and huge blow for Donegal. We knew at the time it was pretty serious. He shipped a very, very heavy knock to get in that score just before half time, and that was, you know, he got the scans done yesterday, and that was the news coming out of it. Patrick's a total professional, and as I say, it's a cruel blow, there's no doubt about it, and it's one that he's still young. He's only 24 years of age, playing brilliant football all year, and has been over the last over many years now. But Patrick will get himself right. He'll get the proper treatment, and he'll get the proper rehab, and as I say, we look forward to seeing him back in playing field 2019.
Yeah, disappointing news for Patrick McBurdy. Well, elsewhere in Gaelic games, Kildare's standoff with the GAA has taken another twist this afternoon. A press conference with manager Cian O'Neill, which had been scheduled for 5 o'clock this evening, has been cancelled. Kildare say they'll be making no further comment on this at the present time. O'Neill and the Kildare County Board are refusing to play this weekend's Round 3 All-Ireland Football Qualifier with Mayo at Croke Park. After they'd been initially awarded home advantage in the draw yesterday morning, the game was switched to a neutral Croke Park by the Central Competitions Control Committee. Chairman of that CCCC, Ned Quinn, says St Conleth's Park in Newbridge didn't have the required capacity to host a huge, high-profile game.
Particularly as I outlined, that it's possible that Kildare supporters would just have access to over 2,000 tickets for a home game. And I think if we're in that scenario, we would have other criticisms coming at the CCC for not foreseeing that.
Here in Donegal this evening in the All-County League Division 1, there's one game down for decision in Dunloe. It's Dunloe against Naoimh Connell. A 7:45 is the throw-on time for that one. At the World Cup, Denmark have joined France in the last 16 of the World Cup in Russia. The Danes held on for a scoreless draw against the French in Moscow today, which was enough for them to advance to the next round in second place in that group. It's the first nil-all draw of this year's World Cup. Peru, they finished third in Group C after they defeated Australia 2-0 for their first World Cup win in 40 years. There was emotional scenes when Andre Chiarello volleyed them in front on 18 minutes. Paulo Guerreiro, he doubled their lead just after half time. So Denmark and France, they'll find out who their last 16 opponents are later this evening. When Group D comes to a conclusion, Croatia have already qualified to the knockout stages. They'll seal top spot if they draw or better against Iceland. Iceland, they could also qualify, but they need to defeat the Croats and hope for a favourable result between Argentina and Nigeria. Two-time champions Argentina, they're in real danger of missing out, knowing they have to win to stand any chance of advancing. Another soccer news, Stoke City are closing in on a deal to make James McLean their third signing of the summer. The West Brom winger has been linked with a move to Stoke ever since Gary Rowett became the Potters' boss last month, and an announcement of the move is close. The fee's believed to be between £4 and £6 million, which will be good business by West Brom, who signed the Derryman for £1.5 million in 2015. McLean scored 5 goals and laid on 7 assists and 112 appeals for the Baggies. And Manchester United's Marouane Fellaini, he says he'll announce on Sunday where he'll be playing his football next season. The midfielder, who's with Belgium in the World Cup in Russia, is about to be out of contract at Old Trafford. On the pitch locally tonight, Finn Harps under-19s are back in action this evening following their mid-season break when they host Cavan and Monaghan at home in the Enda McGill Cup. Kick-off in Finn Park tonight is 7:30. And finally this evening in rugby, Leinster legend Felipe Contempone is returning to the province. The former out-half has been appointed as Leinster's new backs coach, replacing Gervin Dempsey, who's joining Bath. The former Argentina out-half made 116 appearances during a 6-year spell at Leinster, helping them to their first of their 4 Heineken Cup titles in 2009. He spent the last few seasons working with the Argentina national team and with the Jaguars Super Rugby side. And Peter Stringer has announced his retirement from rugby at the age of 40. The former Munster scrum half has made 98 appearances for Ireland and was part of the 2009 Grand Slam winning team. Stringer helped his province win the Heineken Cup in 2006 and 2008. He has had spells at Saracens, Bath, Seal and Worcester since leaving Munster in 2013. That's all your sport for this evening. And the next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Donegal County Councillors have unanimously voted to reject proposals to amalgamate both Ballyshannon and Bundoran fire stations. A proposal was put forward by Donegal's Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart that both stations would be merged into one at a site near Bundoran, reducing cover for the area to just one base. At a special meeting of Donegal County Council held yesterday, it was agreed that the recommendation be rejected. Councillor John Campbell welcomed the decision and confirmed that a motion was passed, seeking funding cooperation for two fire stations in South Donegal.
We commissioned a report to review the fire services in the area, and the report clearly pointed towards the two-station option being the optimal option and the proper option. Fire service management had come with their own, as they termed it, professional judgment, which said that they should amalgamate into one station. Now, when we questioned them and questioned them thoroughly on that, that position just did not stand up, and they didn't even attempt to defend it at the meeting. So we subsequently put forward a proposal that we rejected the recommendations of the management and that we proceed with looking for funding for the two stations on the basis of the report that we commissioned from ORH.
And following these proposals being made that the stations would both be amalgamated into one situated near Bundoran, there was uproar within the community, so I'm sure now the local community is welcoming this.
Yes, there was a large attendance at the meeting, people from the Ballyshannon Bundoran area. These are community facilities. The fire service is very much entrenched in every community in this county, and those who work on the fire service, the firefighters who face the tasks, are part of that community and serve it not for money, not for gain, because what they gain financially is very, very minuscule. But they want to be able to hold their heads up high in their town and say that they have done a good job. That's their motivation, and I think that's reflected in the anger that this has caused where there was a proposal to close the Ballyshannon station. We firmly rejected that on an evidence base, and we'll go forward now and look for the funding, and the commitment is there that if the department feel that there's a shortfall, that the council have committed, we as councillors have committed to ensuring that we meet that shortfall.
Independent TD Michael Lowry has been fined €15,000 for filing incorrect corporation tax returns and failing to keep proper books of account. The judge says he didn't believe a custodial sentence was appropriate. Our court's correspondent Frank Rainey reports.
In 2002, Michael Lowry directed a €372,000 commission owed to his refrigeration company to be paid to a third party in the Isle of Man. His trial heard the payment didn't appear in his company's books until 2006 when he instructed his accountants to record for it. By doing so, it gave the impression the payment was received that year and had a knock-on effect for the company's corporation tax liability. He and his company, Garuda Limited, were convicted this afternoon. A custodial sentence of 6 months or more would have forced him to give up his Dáil seat. Judge Martin Nolan considered his previous good character and his record as a public representative as mitigating factors. He said he didn't think a custodial sentence or community service was appropriate or suitable in this case, and instead fined him €15,000 and his company €10,000. He also disqualified him from being a company director for 3 years. Frank Rainey, Dublin Circuit Criminal Court.
A Donegal deputy is urging interested groups to apply for funding from the Community Enhancement Programme. This funding is targeted towards enhancing community facilities for individuals and communities that are impacted by disadvantage. It includes funding for the likes of project resources, research facilities and energy efficiency equipment for voluntary groups. Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's a really important initiative.
I think it's vitally important for community groups who may be missing funding or short funding, particularly for the likes of playgrounds or community parks, and that to get some additional funding, top up their funding to make sure that they can provide for the facilities that they have within their community. That's important for all groups across all over the county, and I think it's a very welcome fund that should be made available to everybody.
And what kind of projects could be eligible for the funding?
Well, looking at anything like a town park that maybe needs some renovation work done on it, or community or youth club or parish council or something like that as well, that some of the work that they would be doing would need some funding to, and I think that's kind of wide ranging for those kind of organisations.
Vicky Phelan says she's trying to ensure that women with cervical cancer have access to a drug that's helping her. The woman who exposed the cervical check scandal was speaking at the University of Limerick, where she received an honorary doctorate today. Miss Phelan, who has terminal cancer, says she's feeling great on the new medication and has asked the Health Minister to ensure that other women can benefit too.
I've been pushing them to make sure that all of the other women who are going through treatment at the moment, who are part of the 209, may get access to this. You know, he will stand by his promise, and I have it in writing, and he has assured me that that will be the case. We're pushing to get access for all women with advanced cervical cancer, and there's not a huge amount of them. There's about 180. That's it. So, I mean, that's my big focus at the moment, really.
And for for weather now, cloud gradually breaking up to give a dry and sunny day today, a very warm or hot day with top temperatures reaching 23 to 27 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the General Secretary of the INMO says in the region of 1,100 nurses and midwives have been attacked in Seelter Group hospitals over the past 10 years. Specific local figures have not been published for the hospitals, but Phil Nihay says a total of 1,602 staff members have been attacked and the majority of those will have been nurses. An application for capital funding for the redevelopment of the Cleary Centre in Donegal Town is due to be formally appraised by the HSE's Estates Department shortly. It's understood that the group, which has overall responsibility for providing property services to the HSE, will examine the proposal for the Donegal Town project at its next meeting this July. Donegal County Councillors have unanimously voted to reject proposals to amalgamate both Ballyshannon and Bundoran fire stations. A proposal was put forward by Donegal's Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart that both stations would be merged into one at a site near Bundoran, reducing cover for the area to just one base. And there's widespread concern in the Newton Stewart area following reports antisocial behaviour has reached an alarming level. Residents are said to be living in fear with burglaries, robberies and abusive behaviour blamed on an increase in temporary crisis housing in the area. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, June the 26th. The death has taken place of Robert McClay, 383 Conybury Road, Lifford. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Donegal Hospice, Kev Quigley, Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has occurred at Patsy Kerrigan, Salas's Letcherbarrow, Donegal PO. Remains reposing at his home today until 10 o'clock. Removal tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock funeral mass in the Church of the Holy Redeemer, Drimaroan. Interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flyers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or John McGowan, funeral directors. House private before the funeral tomorrow, please. And the death has occurred of Esther Dunleavy, Hall de Manse, Mount Charles, County Donegal. Remains are reposing at her late residence today until 10 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard.